Hi, I'm Jasper Pattenden at Wickham Wanderers, and you're listening to Wickham Sound.
The Wickham Wanderers Show.
Welcome to the latest edition of the Wickham Wanderers Show, and we kick off this week with breaking news. Alex Hartridge has rejoined former club Exeter City on loan for a deal for the remainder of the current season. Having arrived at Adams Park in the summer, Alex has made 14 appearances in League and Cup, but found opportunities limited in recent weeks. Chief Football Officer Dan Rice has told the club's website Alex has been unfortunate due to excellent form of others in his position, and this loan is a great opportunity for him to return to a place he's familiar with and play some football. He continues, we wish him all the best and will be monitoring his performances during his time there. Alex's loan remains subject to EFL and FA approval. Coming up in the next hour, we'll hear from caretaker boss Sam Grace. We'll catch up live with Vince Faulkner and Keith Samuels, who are at the Warm Hub at the club. And that's there, as you've probably heard, throughout January through until March, looking after those in the community who, well, need it. More on them from them in a few moments' time. Also, we'll hear from Phil shortly as well with our match briefing. We'll catch up with Ashley Hart as well, Wickham Wanderers women defender. Two of the first team have been doing some great things in the community as well. We'll be hearing more about that in the next hour too. But first, let's take you back to what happened on Tuesday night.
Humphreys picks out the pass. It's sprayed wide now to Gent. Gent cross comes in. Backington gets something on it. It sits up to the back post. Great tackle. And then it's scored. It's in. Russell. First time effort from him. The block initially was really good from the shot. It fell to Russell on the edge of the area, who strokes it past Franco Ravazzoli. 9 minutes on the clock. Wickham nil, Barnsley one. And here's Onyedemere in the box. Is he being held back?
Oh,
now he's taken
it
down. It's a penalty. Wickham Wanderers have a penalty. Darren Drysdale points to the spot in dramatic slow motion style, and now the crowd want more. They want to see a different colour card here. Was there an attempt to play the ball? That is the question here.
He's given himself a minute to think about it, the referee, which is good. I mean, he's twice fouled as he's going through there.
I mean, one of the players is hanging on to the arm of Onyedemere. That cannot be construed as an attempt to play the ball.
No, no. I mean,
is the other defender adequate cover, though?
Yeah, well, there's got to be a card come out for one of them, even if it's only a yellow. You know, I would imagine it'll be the first one. That, for me, was, you know, look, we're just looking at it back again there. Fred's wiggled away from him. He's wriggled through. And the referee's going to talk to his linesman.
Yeah, the assistant referee. Why are they sort of approaching each other like they've got loaded weapons? Why don't they still talk to each other? He's in position for the penalty. He hasn't spoken to the referee. And the referee, well, all of this is adding to the delay before the penalty could be taken. Is there going to be no cards?
It appears that way. I'm gobsmacked about that.
Well, it's a precursor to Valentine's Day, Brian, as far as I'm concerned. Unbelievable. Richard Kone from the spot. Referee blows his whistle, telling everyone to stay out of the penalty area. Here comes Kone now. Scores! It's 1-1. Richard Kone has been getting rave reviews from around the divisions. It's a great story, and he's just written another chapter.
Absolutely ice cold, wasn't he?
Wickham won, Barnsley won, amazing. McCleary cuts out the pass forwards, gets away from McCarthy. McCleary's on the run now. Lobala and Kone in the box. Vestergaard arriving late. Ball into Kone! Yes!
Oh, it's a wonderful goal!
Kone, hand in the air! And then turns it into the top corner. The Terriers go wild. The Fergs are out. Richard Kone's foot on his back as the teammates pile on top of him. Wickham Wanderers 2, Barnsley 1. What a cross. What a goal. Fantastic scenes.
Great to hear from Phil, accompanied by Brian Jeeves, of course, on Tuesday night. We can hear more from Phil now with our match briefing, of course, after such excitement.
Yeah, brilliant. Brilliant night under the lights. Obviously, the drama at the end, That's why we love football, isn't it? 95th minute winner. The game had loads going on. But yeah, wonderful scenes at the end. Look, had we taken our chances earlier in the game, then we'd have been denied the drama at the end. And, you know, late drama is the best kind of drama. And yeah, Richard Kone, the man of the moment. Brilliant, brilliant header. But, you know, again, fantastic work from Gareth McCleary too. Fantastic night and a massive 3 points in the context of the table as well, with results elsewhere, with Huddersfield losing at Birmingham and Wrexham being defeated at home for the first time this season against Stevenage. So, you know, things really going our way that night. But we've just got to keep doing what we can do and win our games and not really worry about anyone else. And if we can do that between the end of the season, then it will end very, very well. But look, it was a really tough game. Barnsley were in the playoffs themselves at the start of the evening. They had a really good Christmas. So it was not an easy match. But yeah, it was a huge 3 points in the context of the league. And great to speak to the caretaker boss, Sam Grace, afterwards.
The adrenaline's still very much going through my body at the moment. I think it's a fantastic performance from probably the fifth, sixth minute once we settled all the way through. And I think we got what we deserved in the end.
Would it be that one criticism, we had the chances early on in the game to maybe make it safe, but didn't do so, but then we would have denied ourselves that drama?
Yeah, we would, but I think it's more exciting, and the release at the end from everyone. So happy for the players. I think, obviously, reflect heavily on Saturday on how we feel we can have a bigger threat in the final third. We're so pleased for the players in terms of those tweaks that we made. They came out, I think, thought we carried that threat in behind constantly, which really then pinned back Barnsley for the majority of the game. And then the quality of whether it's Oud holding the ball up, obviously Richard running in behind, Cam between the lines, and that came on again when you bring your subs on. And you know, we spoke, I think, after the weekend, one of the big things we wanted to prove was that final ball. And G was saying himself, he's got high standards for himself, so he's really disappointed at the weekend, but then a moment came tonight and he delivered, and he stood that ball up for Rich, and Rich did what he does, and we're so happy to see it at the net.
Every Wickham fan I saw before the game was asking me about Richard Kone and his future. They were pleased to see him on the starting lineup tonight, even better to see him at the end celebrating as well. What's the latest with Richard Kone?
Same as I said on Saturday, Richard wants to get promoted with Wickham. Yeah, and if you look at that tonight, you know, that is someone unbelievably committed. I think he's taken throw-ins as well at one point. You know, he's all in for us, and obviously spearheading that attack for us at the moment.
And what about you, Sam? You're getting the hang of the fist bumps at the end there. What's your immediate future?
Yeah. I didn't feel I could turn them down this time. You've got quite a few eyes on you and they are, ooh. So, yeah, next game. That's us. Just keep preparing for the next game until we hear anything. So, yeah, as a group, as all staff, from Voxy, Harry, and Matty, Cal, JJ and Clever Ben, we'll all get on the computers and work out how we take on the weekend's game.
A debut tonight for Magnus Vestergaard as well. And the other new faces, are they getting nearer?
Yeah, so good to have Magnus. He's obviously he's come into us during this winter break at the moment. So we've got to be careful with the minutes. So showing really good quality in possession during the week, you know, getting used to how we want to play. So he's getting close. He's getting closer, as is Anders. Alex Lowry's training well at the moment. And the same with James. And they're all at different places based on some have been training more, but not playing games. Some of the reverse, so we'll keep working hard and hopefully see them soon.
Sam, of course, sounding really upbeat there, and you know, great to get that kind of fan response as well. I think you get the feeling, don't you, that the supporters are really behind him.
Yeah, and you know, it's that thing in front of the terrace with the fist bumps. I know a lot of managers do that now, and the players are very keen for Sam Grace to do that. He's a sort of a mild-mannered, very level-headed guy. I don't think that's his thing, but he let the moment happen on Tuesday, which was lovely. And for me personally, knowing Sam and knowing that Sam was on the terrace in the 90s when Martin O'Neill was a manager, that would have had a really good impact on him too, I think, sort of being in front of that terrace as caretaker boss of Wycombe Wanderers after 7 points out of nine in the week. A fantastic return. But yeah, brilliant to see those scenes, and he's doing a great job with Voxy and Harry and Matt from the academy as well, and JJ. So I think they're doing an admirable job in the interim, and we shall see what happens. But again, you know, Sam's done such a great job for this club in his development role as well. You know, the likes of Declan Skua, who had a good game on Tuesday as well. Jasper Pattinson, who's on his way back from injury. Chris Foligno, who we sold for money. Anis Fometi as well. You know, these people have really benefited from Sam Grace, along with countless others. And he's done a brilliant job for the club. And I just think it's really poetic that Richard Koné, week on week, is getting stronger and better and getting more and more headlines and attention. And it's a player that's come through that system as well, overseen by Sam Grace. So for Richard Koné to get a double on Tuesday really brings things perfectly together. And it was great to speak to Rich after the game too.
Poof. What a game. What a day. Well, to be fair, the first half was a scrappy game. And in the first half, we had to, you know, get back to the game. They score one goal and a bit of panic, but not that much. And yeah, we go in and come back out and another mentality, and we score one goal and the second come. So yeah, really good day.
The penalty, it was a long time between the penalty being given and then you being able to put the ball on the spot. What goes through your mind in those situations?
To be honest, because I've missed a few recently, so I like to not think about it and just take any pen as they come. And that's what I did today. So yeah, really pleased.
Did you give the keeper the eyes? He went the wrong way.
Yeah, to be fair, I've looked at him until the end, and when the game finished, he told me, "Oh, why are you still going the same way? Oh, I thought you were going to change." So you got to keep consistency, innit?
Absolutely. Talk to me about that cross from Gareth McCleary as well, because we were watching it in slow motion.
Yeah, G did brilliant in the middle of the park. Press well, get the ball back, run down the channel, and yeah, he find me in the box as he's always doing. So yeah, I was really happy to be in that box, and he find me there and just head it in.
We've not had many strikers in our league era. Certainly at this level in League One, you've got to 20 goals and more. You're closing down on that target very quickly.
Yeah. That was my main target, and hopefully I keep on bringing them goals so I can finish with a good tally at the end of the season. So yeah, really pleased for now.
And talk to me about your love for Wycombe Wanderers and the fans here, because your name is being sung as loud as I've heard any name sung here, and I've been coming here since 1990. So what does that feel like?
Yeah, to be fair, I do really welcome in this place, and I've never seen that before. Like the people are lovely here. They love me. I love them as well. And I can't thank them enough. They always be on the team every week. So we go say thank you to them and keep coming and supporting us so we can get to that promotion.
And you've got your face on a flag on the terrace too. That must be wonderful to see.
Yeah. Like, everything happening here is just new to me, and it makes me proud. It means that I've come a long way, and yeah, I just want to say thank you to them, and hopefully we give them that promotion.
You've come a long way in a very short period of time as well, and how do you reflect on that? Because it's been so quick.
Yeah, that's one thing that scares me as well. Like, football goes too quick, and what I'm living right now is just, I'm just enjoying the moment. I just enjoy every game, every bit of it. I'm just enjoying it because it won't last forever. But for now, we've got to enjoy it.
Fantastic to hear from him. And obviously, we've spoken on the show previously about his story, and that's brilliant too. And I guess his goal scoring is only naturally bringing attention, but fans will be concerned about, you know, hoping that he stays as well.
Yeah, look, the window brings uncertainty both ins and outs. And I think Sam Grace was very clear, wasn't he? When we asked the question, he says Richard Koné wants to be promoted to the Championship at Wycombe Wanderers. So, you know, that the best way to do that is by staying here in the window, which he's going to get attention. And that's the beauty of having players in form, smashing goals in, especially strikers. They will get attention because there are other teams out there who are desperate need of goals and points. And, you know, and they're well reported, but he's our player. And he loves it here, and his story has led him here, and he's really repaying the faith that's been shown in him at an early stage. And yeah, look, the rise as well has been meteoric, hasn't it? The time, it's just over 12 months, you know, that he's been with us as a full-time professional. And like I say, week on week, we're seeing him improve and get better. His goal scoring record, you know, top goal scorer now in League One, which is fantastic, especially for those Wycombe fans who packed him in the market of that last summer. Very exciting for them. But his overall game, is fantastic. His hold-up play now with his back to goal, really strong. His movement off the ball. If you haven't seen the replay of his header against Barnsley, if you're a young kid learning the game, I recommend you go back and watch it back countless times and look at the movement before the cross comes in. It's what every striker needs to be doing, is finding their space in the box, and he's a master at it. So yeah, it's great watching him in the Wickham shirt, and I'm looking forward to seeing him put on the shirt many, many more times.
Well, fantastic for those doing their fantasy football as well, of course.
Yes, yeah. If you double captain, if you captained him this week, then you'd have got over 30 points. And brilliant to see Wickham players getting top of the points totals as well. But yeah, Richard has been a regular feature in those high scoring teams in fantasy football too.
And a great landmark for the captain to get 200 appearances on Tuesday night as well. It really feels like he's been instrumental in the real kind of sense of unity throughout the team during this time.
Yeah, I think, you know, Jack's role off the pitch, I think, has been immense in this period of great change for the club. And when you have great change, you need great leadership, you know, to steer people through that. And Jack is a shining light of great leadership at this club. And I think his role has been superb off the pitch. And, you know, that's before you've even spoken about what he's contributed on it as well. But look, you know, he's a strong character. He's our longest serving player now. And has really stepped up to the plate this year. And his interview after the game, I thought, really spoke volumes about him as a person, about what his attitude is towards being a captain and what that means for the club. And I thought it was fantastic.
Absolutely. And the fans really boosted this week as well by the news that Callum Taylor's returned as well.
Yeah, brilliant news. You know, I think there was a huge period of uncertainty at West Bromwich Albion. They lost their manager shortly before Christmas. So it wasn't a huge surprise to see Caleb called back. He'd been in fantastic form for Wycombe Wanderers in his loan spell with us at the first half of the season. So it didn't surprise me that West Brom wanted to come back and take a look at him. There'd been a few injuries in their position back for them in centre-backs. He played in the FA Cup and got himself a goal as well, which was fantastic. And then they make an appointment, Tony Mowbray. He would have assessed the squad. I think some players have come back from injury as well. And it makes perfect sense, I think, for Caleb to come back and continue getting regular game time and playing in a successful team, hopefully, which will stand him in great stead for West Brom in the future. But yeah, he can only really have played for us or West Brom. He played for West Brom before coming here on loan back in the summer. So because of the rules, if he was to leave West Brom, it would have had to have been with us. And it was, I'd imagine, a very easy choice for Tony Mowbray in terms of a great environment here, a great set of lads in a great position. And he can hopefully contribute to something really special for this club and gain something from that for himself. And also West Brom can win too.
And not long left, of course, of the transfer window, and fans will be very pleased, I think, with the business that's been done, certainly in terms of incomings, and might be keen to see if there's any more to come as well.
Yeah, look, it's, you know, the transfer window around the 72 clubs in the Football League is hugely exciting. So we shall see what happens between now and 11 p.m. on February the 3rd. So yeah, I'm sure you know, things will be going on all over the place in League One. Which should be worth keeping an eye on, and Wycombe Wanderers will no doubt be taking part in stuff as well. You never know. So, you know, the only advice I can say for sure is to keep your eyes peeled on Wycombe Wanderers' social media channels and website, because if anything does happen, that's the first place you'll find out about it.
It's very good advice. Also, we should look ahead, of course, to Saturday's game and a trip to a team who are, you know, down the wrong end of the table. But as we've seen against Northampton, you know, teams down the bottom can cause us problems as well.
Yeah, and it's that time of year now where teams are really starting to pull out results. Burton Albion have started to really find their groove since they've appointed Gary Bowyer as manager and settled down that hugely changed squad from the summer. Gareth Ainsworth and Richard Dobson, won't surprise anyone to see that they've started to turn a corner too. And Cambridge, inconsistent really, is the word you can only describe them, because they had a terrible start to the season, but then they'd pick up results, the odd result here and there, and you'd imagine that they'd turn the corner and then they'd back it up with a disappointing defeat. So yeah, it's a team to be wary of. They like to get the ball down and play. I think they've had to sort of compromise a little bit on that style. And the window's open too for them. They've had a couple of strikers come through. I think they're looking to add a goalkeeper after they've had a couple of injuries in that position. So look, it's great uncertainty around the fixture in terms of who they're going to have available on the day and any new people coming in as well. But also, they are absolutely desperate to stay in the division. So these teams are really, really tricky. And I think League One, like it is most years, is fantastically competitive. You know, Shrewsbury have shown us by taking 6 points off Birmingham and Wrexham in the period that Gareth's been there since December, shows you that anything could happen in League One. So Wickham have to really respect this fixture. It's a team and a place that we've done well in recent trips as well, which hopefully can stand us in good stead. But that all goes out the window because when the whistle goes 3 o'clock on Saturday, it'll be a Cambridge side, fiercely competitive, fighting for their lives, and they're the teams to be really wary of.
It does feel like there have been a lot of games in January, doesn't it? It'd be brilliant to end the month on a high.
Yeah, it's been an incredibly busy period and a huge amount of home games as well. So really have to pay tribute to the fans who've been able to come along to the majority or all of those games because, you know, financially, it's a tough month for many, January. I think we all feel the pinch at this time of year. You know, the year started with, I think, 4 home games in 9 or 10 days, which is a ridiculous sort of way that the fixtures have fallen, but that's how it's been. And yeah, there's been many games this month, a lot of them at home. So we really salute those fans who've been able to come out. And I think, you know, the message from the club really is that, you know, the team are unified. We've seen that from what Jack has said. We saw that from the scenes at Mansfield the other week. And it's the same off the pitch as well. And everyone's pulling in the right direction. And the fans are really getting on board with that. The noise on Tuesday night was fantastic. We'd love there to be more people coming, of course. And hopefully as February comes upon us and the home games in February happen, we can welcome more fans to get involved and play their part because, you know, the players, as Jack said the other night, the players will need the fans at some point between now and the end of this season, and the fans can take part and bask, hopefully, in the glory of what the team can achieve. They're well-placed and anything's possible.
Brilliant to speak to you and enjoy the game on Saturday.
I certainly will. Thank you, Colin.
Pleasure as always to have Phil on the show. He'll be bringing you full match commentary. Kick off at 3 o'clock at Cambridge on Saturday. A reminder that you can catch the full versions of the chat with Richard Coney and also the caretaker manager, Sam Grace, as well as that chat with Captain Jack Grimmer, who made his 200th appearance on Saturday, on the Wickham Wanderers website and on Wanderers TV.
Across High Wickham and South Buckinghamshire and on your smart speaker.
Play Wickham Sound.
This is Wickham Sound.
The Chair Boys are flying high in League One this season, so come on down to Adams Park, get behind the boys and play your part in what will be a memorable season for Wickham Wanderers.
71 minutes on the clock, up against Jed Stitt, dancing around on his line.
Take your time, Rich. Take your time.
Kone. Here he comes.
Score! Richard!
It's been goals, goals, goals for the Chair Boys so far this season. Come on down to Adams Park to play your part and get behind the boys. Head to tickets.wwfc.com and use the code SOUND on booking for a chance to win a gantry experience at a Wickham Wanderers home match. Come on, you Blues.
Second part of this week's Wickham Wanderers show still to come. We'll hear more from caretaker boss Sam Grace as we build up to Saturday's visit to Cambridge. And we'll catch up with Ash Hart, a Wickham Wanderers women defender as well, who has been on the show before in September. Speaking of people who've been on the show before, I've got a couple of gentlemen to chat to in a few moments' time. First, though, I must say a big hello to Richard McQueen, who is Wickham Wanderers' oldest serving former player. Celebrated his 100th birthday this week at Surrey Heights Dementia Care Centre. And the club are very pleased to send him a shirt with 100 on the back as well. As mentioned, though, with big thanks, of course, to the Wickham Wanderers Ex-Players Association, two gentlemen who are considerably younger, but are heroes of the club from some half a century ago, Vince Faulkner and Keith Samuels, who are at the Wickham Wanderers Warm Hub. A very good evening to you both.
Evening to you, Colin. I'm glad you said that we're slightly younger.
That must make you feel young as well when you hear someone's 100.
Well, that's right. Yeah. Very well, very well. Anyway, good evening to you, and hope you're well.
Yeah, very well, thank you, and hope you two are both as well. Because it's fantastic to obviously we've had you on the show before, friends of the show, but also it's brilliant to hear about the fantastic work. I'm sure when you both played, and Vince, I guess you know, sort of 50 years ago, you couldn't have imagined that you'd still be, you know, representing the club and some, you know, the great tours that you do on a match day, but also at something like this as well.
Well, that's right. I mean, speaking on behalf of Keith just in a minute, but he'll come in. I mean, so we both joined the club in 1963. That is 1963. So we've been with the club for sort of 60-odd years in some form of other. We get great, you know, sort of situations from it. It helps us as well with our sort of mental size of things and various other bits. So, No, we're just putting back into what the club gave us all those years ago. So it's payback time.
And fantastic as well that, you know, I know that there's a group of you that still play golf and still, you know, obviously still meet up regularly with the association, of course.
Yeah, we still play golf twice a week, weather permitting, which at the moment we haven't been able to do because a lot of the courses are closed. And I think we've told you before that there's six of us who all played together in the 1960s, who still play golf together twice a week, which is not bad, you know, 60 years on from when we were all in the same team playing for Wickham Wanderers. And as Vince says, it was an honour to play for the club, and now we feel that, you know, we've got the time. We like to put something back into the club and help with the warm hub and other things around the ground, like, I don't know whether you know, last on the 23rd, there was a Rothschild's Breaking Barriers event for the foundation that was where they had a grant from the Rothschild Foundation. And they did a 12-month social research project in High Wycombe, sports participation for children. And they had a lot of discussions with young voices showcasing a 12-month project and journey. But we came to that, and it lasted for 2 hours.
That's right. Yeah.
And very interesting, very well organised. Give us an insight into what children think and worry about in sport today. A lot of the things, and one of the main things that we got from it was that a lot of children, the thing they're most worried about is getting hurt, whether that's playing a sport or falling over in the playground or whatever. And the other thing that they surprised us was they don't like to get hot and sweaty. Which we found quite funny.
That's right. That followed this week on Tuesday. Keith and I, we came down here and we had Carrington Junior School down here who had 60 children that came down here, and Lane End School who had 30 children. So they were split up into three modules. The group workshop A did show racism, the red card. That was the predominant feature on the day, the show racism, the red card. Keith and I then took another group on a ground tour, as he mentioned earlier, and the last group, did disability awareness. So when we'd finished an hour's tour with the first group, we came back and they all interchanged. So we went off on group two and then group three. So that took basically 3 hours. So they were very good. Actual fact, there were 90 kids, probably in the age group of, well, I think, 10 and 11. Very receptive, very courteous, and showed a lot of interest in coming down to Wycombe Wanderers. As a lot of them were supporters as well. The day was sponsored by Xerox. A guy called Chris Hell was the actual main sort of support there. And, you know, we had a tremendous day with the kids as well.
It really is brilliant to be able to highlight events like this, because I'm sure fans don't know, you know, a lot of this that goes on. I must ask as well, your golf must be at a huge standard because you've both been playing for such a long time now.
Well, Keith's far better than me. he's the bandit of the two of us.
No,
we enjoy it. I mean, say, as he's mentioned in earlier conversation, there's still six of us, still camaraderie. We still take the mick out of one another. We still relive everything. We have a bacon sarnie and a pint afterwards, and you know, 2 days a week. So it's brilliant, absolutely brilliant.
And Keith, what sort of brings you to the warm hub? Because I know we did the show from it last time, and it was such a success. Yeah. And I know there's quite a funny story about how you both were mistaken by someone people who were benefiting from it.
Yeah, the first time we walked in, I think they thought that we were too coming down here to the warm hub.
That's why we looked nearly over to see. That's the thing.
So we said no. We've come to come to help out and. You know, we come down here, we help out with the food, make tea and coffee for them, have a chat with them. And, you know, we put games out for them and the tables. But most people now come down because there's a lot who came down when it first started. I mean, we missed out last year. But from 2-3 years ago. And they're all friends, and they sit round a table for 2 or 3 hours, have a good chat, a laugh, have a nice meal, have a cup of, you know, they ask us tea, coffee or whatever. And we, you know, they ask us questions about when we played or what we're doing now, et cetera, et cetera. And also, as you, I expect you know, that on match days, Vince takes players round into the boxes over the other side if they're not involved in the squad, in the game for the day. I look after the box where ex-players can come, and if it obviously is availability, like we can have 12 in there, or if there's six, we can have, every player can bring a guest with him, so that makes the 12 up in the box.
Yeah. And just to say that special thanks on behalf of the foundation do go out to Bucks County Helping Hands. They are the main sponsor. I'm led to believe there are two other sponsors who wish to remain anonymous. So to whoever they are, if they're listening to this, thank you very much. It is a worthwhile exercise, and the money that you spent in donating, other than the council, is greatly received and supported. And if you come down and see the 35 people that are down here tonight. Enjoying their evening, they're still in there now. Keith and I just made a quick sharp exit left just to come and sit in the business room down here at Adams Park to talk to you. So, yeah, so thanks to everybody, especially the two anonymous sponsors.
And this isn't supposed to be a pun, but Keith, it must bring, give you such a warm feeling to know that, you know, you're helping people in the community and they're really benefiting. And in a way, it's, you know, it's thanks to football.
It is actual fact, because not everybody of that 35 that have come down here this evening are, shall we say, Wycombe Wanderers fans. They've come down here for what it said on the tin at the start, was to get people out after the COVID and to get people out into the community, as Keith was mentioning earlier.
Well, and also, you know, it first started off was when the first, I think it's 2 years ago when it first started, and then was when the price of fuel, electricity, gas was going up, and food, and we thought, you know, that the foundation thought that if they could get this warm hub going, it would give people a chance to save 2 or 3 hours on gas and electricity, come out, have a meal, and meet other people, especially if somebody lives on their own, which some of them do. A lot of them come down with their partners, but there are a few that live on their own and they find it very comforting to come down here and meet other people for 2 or 3 hours.
Yeah. I may say special thanks as well, as I said about the sponsors, but special thanks does also go to the foundation, to Mark Gateskill, to Juliet, to Kalula and to Luke. I may say they got us involved in it. We've responded. They've responded with us. And we like to think we're a good team in a minute. So special thanks to the foundation. They are the charity side of the club. And all behind the scenes, they do a tremendous job as well. So special thanks go out to them.
And also, thanks for the to the club for allowing for their facilities. And obviously, the heating's on, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, it's a good function, and twice a week. And people say... Also, we have to thank the chef as well.
Yes, done.
Because, I mean, we've been here, what, 6 nights now?
Six nights.
And had a meal, different meal every night we've been here. And people appreciate that as well. And, you know, it's good food. Like tonight, they had lamb casserole with jacket potatoes and vegetables. And it's piping hot. It's made and
on site.
The chef brings it out at 6 o'clock and it's served up. People just sit there, have their meal, have a chat. And, you know, it's just a very sociable evening for all of us.
And just to take on as well, it is a special thanks, as Keith said, basically to the club, because taking it a stage further, they do give us the use of a hospitality box at all home league games, which Keith monitors and looks after. So a special thanks to the club for looking after the ex-players as they do. So that is appreciated, especially from, you know, people like yourself and the guys who attend on match days. So thank you to that as well.
It's a brilliant example of collaboration. And Keith, it's a great part of what the Wycombe Wanderers Ex-Players Association do as well. I remember our first conversation, I think it was not long after you'd presented some medical equipment to the hospital.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, well, when Pete Sutherby had a stroke, he was in Amersham Hospital. And we always have a charity every year to make a donation to, and we thought that because Peter had a stroke and he was in the stroke unit at Amersham Hospital, we would go, Vince and myself went over there, found out exactly what they required, which they needed some new seats and chairs and comfortable chairs in their meeting area for patients, relatives, etc. So we donated, I can't remember exactly how much it was, 2,500 I think it was, yeah. So we did that, and then last on the Portsmouth FA Cup game, Vince, John Bignall, myself, went out on the pitch and presented a cheque to Alzheimer's Society for £3,000. Last Saturday, we couldn't go because we were doing, obviously, our match day duties. We were invited to the AGM of the Prostate Cancer Society that we sponsored, and they were our charity for last year, and we presented £4,000 to those last year, and we were invited to their AGM where they have a meal as well. Two of the ex-players from the committee, not one of them, Gordon Anning, played, but Colin Smith, who was the one that prostate cancer, he was the go-between between us and the prostate cancer people. They went to represent the ex-players. So unfortunately, Vince and I couldn't go. But as I say, every year, different charity, and whatever we raise at all our events, which Vince can explain now what they are, goes to the charity that we've chosen for the year. And this year coming up, we've chosen the Air Ambulance. So let Vince explain.
We don't have a committee meeting. It's the only meeting we don't have, which is in January. But in February, the nomination, as Keith just explained, for the Air Ambulance will be confirmed on Tuesday, our next meeting. So that will be next year. We have four events a year over and above the membership fee that we charge, which is still the nominal £20 a year for ex-players to join, and that was the inaugural day back in 17 years ago. We have a quiz evening in March, we have a bowls day in June, we have a golf day in July, and we have the big dinner which JDT gets sorted out in November. As Keith mentioned, in all funds received go to the annual charity per year, and we donate that at the end of the year. And I'm pleased to say it's basically just short of £60,000 that we've raised over the number of years since Alan Hutchinson and Steve Hayes devised the Ex-Players Association. So a thanks to those two, a thanks to JDT, to John Bignall, all the other guys, John Maskell especially, the president, Gordon Allen, Colin Smith, everybody on the committee do a wonderful job. And it's just lovely to be part of.
Well, it's been a real pleasure to speak to you both. Thank you so much indeed for your time, and thank you all for the great work that you do as well. And I'm sure I've thought of the expression, not all heroes wear capes, while speaking to you. So it's been brilliant to chat to you, and do keep up the good work. Thank you so much indeed for your time.
Lovely. Thanks very much. Thank you very much. Cheers.
Thanks.
Real pleasure chatting to Keith Samuels and also Vince Faulkner from the Warm Hub. Do check out the Wickham Wanderers Foundation for more details.
Across High Wycombe and South Buckinghamshire. And on your smart speaker.
Play Wickham Sound.
This is Wickham Sound.
Final part of this week's Wickham Wanderer show. Whilst we've been on air, there's been further breaking news that Matt Butcher has gone on loan for the remainder of the season to Bristol Rovers. That, as I say, is happening until the end of the season. We'll hear from Sam Grace, the caretaker boss, in a few moments' time. But first, let's turn our attention to Wickham Wanderers women, who their captain Bobby Lynch and also Ailish, who've been on the show before as well, were at that show races on the Red Card event, doing some great stuff in the community as well. We've spoken to Ash Hart, a defender, on the show before back in September. Great to catch up with her again to find out her assessments on how this season's going.
I think the first start to the season has been brilliant. Pre-Christmas, we've had a really good run, had some really good results. We've been grinding out goals, grinding out performances, getting the points where they've mattered. We obviously didn't have the best of luck in our cup runs, but by all means, in terms of the league, we're really fighting for that, and we're really grinding to get the points in and keep moving up that leaderboard.
so pleasing as well, because I know when we spoke to you, the team was really going through that phase where, you know, a lot of the new signings have come in, and now we're really starting to see, you know, the goals and the creativity that they've brought.
Yeah, I mean, I think as a team, we're really gelling now. We've had that sort of get-to-know-each-other phase, and some results haven't gone our way. But predominantly when we're out on the field and we've got that squad, I think we're a bit of a force to be reckoned with. Our front three collectively are so hard to play against. They're so challenging to defend against. As a back line, we're solid. We've got creativity in midfield. We've got people that can lock down the centre of the pitch. We're really sort of advancing in all areas, if I'm honest.
And we should ask about your own game as well, of course.
Yeah, I mean, it's always important, isn't it? You always want to get the minutes in. You always want to contribute to the team's success. I think as long as you're playing well and you're working hard off the pitch as well as in training and on the pitch, then it can clearly be shown. And it clearly shows who's working hard and who's actually going that next level all the time to be the best that they can be.
And I guess whatever position you're on the pitch, it must feel great to be such a, as you say, a contributor to the success of the team.
Yeah, I mean, still, I've played in a few again this season, which having that versatility, I always say, that's fine. If that's where you need the job to be done, I'll go and do that job. So by all means, it does, but also just consolidating certain positions on the pitch and really sort of making them your own is also a good feeling as well.
And I remember when we spoke to you before, that it was just after you'd scored some spectacular goals. Have you got any more on the way, do you know?
I'm due a goal, I think, to be honest. I haven't had anything yet. One in the FA Cup and one in the league quite early on. I haven't had anything for a while. So, I mean, I'm hungry to try and get them, but it's just a case of whether it falls into the right place, falls into my feet at the right moment, and whether that shot comes away, if I'm honest. But I'm definitely after more, and I think we get a little bit hungry collectively across the team for the goals.
And would you say there have been any particular kind of games or moments so far in the season that have really stood out as kind of highlights for you and the team?
I think collectively we're doing really well. We're getting the results that we should be getting. We're achieving good things. We've obviously had some low moments in terms of fixtures that haven't gone our way, cup games that we've ended up losing out on. We had a tough game against Ascot away the other week where we didn't quite manage to get the same result as we did the first time around we played them in terms of the draw. But I think what we have to do is just take the positives from those performances. Collectively as a team, we're in a lot better place than we were last season. There's more points on the boards. We've got the top goal scorer in the league at the moment in Kayla, who's, I think, on 19 goals. That's a really good achievement. And people look at us and people are worried to play us because we're performing really well at the moment.
And something which really stood out was the performance and the result against Woodley, of course, who were one of your promotion rivals.
Yeah, that was an important fixture. It was one of the sort of post-Christmas games. And coming into that off the back of the Ascot game, we knew it was a bounce-back game. We knew we had to win. And obviously going to the Woodley pitch is never easy. But we got the job done. It wasn't the prettiest of games, but we got the job done and got the results and secured the 3 points.
It's really tight at the top, isn't it? With it like supporters there in Oxford as well, just hot on your heels.
I know it is. To be fair, we were due to play Oxford this weekend, but obviously because of our Penn game being rescheduled for the Cup, that's going to be pushed back. So we again had a tough fixture coming up this weekend with Oxford and then looking ahead to Portchester next week, who again we're looking to try and get results on, and they're looking to try and get a result against us. There's some quite big fixtures coming up that we need to be as ready as we can be for.
And do you try not to take too much notice in a way of sort of how far Ascot are ahead, or you're just kind of hoping that they'll slip up or you'll be able to cut the gap?
I think obviously the fact that we didn't get the result we needed against them in itself is a little bit hard to take, but also Ascot they've been grinding away for seasons themselves. They're looking to achieve that top spot. They've been second in the league the last couple of years. That's something that they're really looking to do. For us to sort of be middle of the league last season and be contending for that top spot, that's something that we can arguably be proud of as well. We just have to keep going, keep getting the results, keep getting the points. And yeah, like I said, if they slip up, we'll be there for the taking. But we're relying on them slipping up. But all we can do is just keep doing our best.
As you say, it's such a credit to the team to see how far that you have come. As you say, this time last season, you know, and now challenging for the top.
Yeah, I think it's really positive. It's showing that the club is moving in good directions. We've really stepped up a gear this season in terms of the foundation coming in, coming on board. We've got few better players in, tier four players that have come and want to join the team and want to play and want to get the results. So I think we're in a lot better place, and regardless of where we finish this season, we're geared up for next season to take it from the beginning and look to sort of hit the ground running.
You mentioned the postponement of the Penn game. It was quite wet on Sunday.
The pitch was very, very bad. There was potholes of mud, there was puddles, people were covered in mud, literally head to toe, just because you couldn't even find your feet, even in studs. It wasn't a pretty game, and I think we're potentially going to have exactly the same again this weekend, going back to the same pitch with a view to playing, depending on what the weather does. I know we've looked at potentially reversing the fixture, trying to get it at Burnham, because we've got the Astro 3G there. But we've got to see. Wherever we'll be, we'll be ready for it, whether it's at their ground or our ground. We're ready for a game, and we're hungry for that fixture before we go into Portchester the week after.
I was going to say, it must be so frustrating, because you get ready for a game and then it gets kind of called off midway through.
Yeah, no, of course. And especially if we don't necessarily play this weekend again in the Penn game, we're going to be going to Portchester away, potentially having not played a competitive fixture for 2 weeks, which we don't really want that to be the case, and we don't want that to happen. So we're putting things in place that if it really goes wrong in terms of the pitch, we can look at potentially getting it played at our place and having that sort of security and the ability to play that fixture, not just to get that done, but also to line us up for the rest of the season ahead in terms of the league.
I guess quite disappointing for fans as well, because I know, you know, when Carl came in a couple of weeks back, he was saying that supporters speak to him and say, you know, they'd like to come to more games if it was closer to Wickham, and obviously the Penn game is quite near Wickham, so perhaps ultimately more supporters could have come.
The weather had been better. I think it might have been a little bit more a little bit more worth coming for, but it was such a dismal day that it obviously put people off quite a bit. But we'll see what the weather's like this week. And like I said, it is quite local. It's not far from Wickham, and it's not too far from Burnham, where we normally play. So if there's people that want to come down, by all means, we'll be there, whether it's at Penn or Burnham. The fixture should be on, and we'll be raring to go.
And just overall, does it feel a really exciting time to be involved in the team? And as you say, the quality of the team, and one of the best in the league as well.
Yeah, no, of course. I think when you love football and you love playing and you dedicate your weeks to it, at training and your weekends, it is really good to start seeing those results coming in and seeing sort of the success starting to come to fruition. So I think it's a great place to be a part of, and I'd encourage people to sort of watch this space. We're very much ready to go this season.
Well, it's been brilliant to speak to you again, and wish you all the best for the weekend and the upcoming games.
Thank you so much, Colin. Lovely to speak to you too.
Nice to have Ash Hart on the show again. We might hear from her before the season's out. Brilliant to catch up with the team's caretaker boss, Sam Grace, as well, earlier on today, starting with his reaction to the news that Caleb Taylor is back at the club on loan.
Yeah, Caleb performed really well for us in the first half of the season. He's like an all-round defender for us, you know, brilliant with his aerial duels, gets tight in the ground duels and carries the ball out from the back. So to have that extra addition and that real quality and, you know, challenge for places in the back line is great news for us.
And fantastic as well, because there must be so much uncertainty, obviously getting towards the end of the transfer window, but you must be so pleased with the additions that have come in already.
Yeah, it has been a period where I think it's probably been bit of a unique one for us as a club to have sort of a combination of so many of our own players wanted by the clubs because of how well they performed in the first half of the season and where we are in the league. And then, you know, on top of that, you know, we've had, you know, Blooms and Tomo and Harry and Turney and Dan brought in so many great loans that have equally done well that obviously clubs in the division above or the original clubs wanted to, you know, bring them back has meant that this has been a period of uncertainty, but now the club have really looked to reinforce in all areas.
But as well, conversely, there seems to be so much unity throughout the team, and especially with the results and performances in this month as well.
Yeah, it's, you know, I think I spoke before the first game that we took charge of that, you know, this team wants to get promoted, this squad wants to get promoted, that is the goal. And as I said, as much as there's obviously been changes in this period and there was potential for things to be derailed, you know, you've had those senior players get around the change room and make sure that everybody's completely on script, that everybody's focused, and, you know, everybody within the club is doing everything that they can to make that happen.
And I'm sure fans have been reassured to hear you say that Richard Koenig should be staying at the club, and fantastic as well that, you know, to have someone in the team who's, you know, top of the league's goal scoring charts, but also I guess extra pride with yourself as well that he's come through the development setup.
Yeah, as I've said to a couple of times now, the first time we saw Richard, invited him in to train, and I remember it was down at Adams Park, and remember asking afterwards, Bayo and Voxie were just sitting down having watch, asking their thoughts. Remember, then because of his visa, we couldn't do anything at that time and had to wait a couple seasons. And he came in and he trained with us brilliantly over pre-season, but we weren't able to sign him, unfortunately, due to registration until the next window. And in that time, he was training with us a couple of times a week and getting fitter and sharper. That meant that by the time January came round and we were in a position to sign him, he was well aware of how teammates played, how the team played, and, you know, had a fitness level that maybe he didn't have in those early pre-season fixtures. So, no, Richard's a credit to himself, and everyone has really enjoyed working with him and seeing his progression. You know, he's a really humble lad and he deserves everything that comes to him in the future.
It's so rewarding for you to kind of bring these players through, obviously, with players like Anis previously and Chris Farina, of course, and Jasper Pattinson doing so well in the team now.
Yeah, you know, it is. I mean, I think that's probably goes for most coaches, seeing those players that, you know, make it into the first team and get those minutes. It is really rewarding, you know, working on key parts of their game, you know, working with them. We do love that bit, but then, you know, the top players, it doesn't stop there. So whether it be Anis then working on, you know, his left foot finishing, you know, Chris Farina on trying to develop his playing out from the back, Jasper obviously trying to add more to his attacking threat because he's, you know, strong with his 1v1s. It's the same with Richard, you know, with his hold-up play, which, you know, there are games where he's been excellent at. There are games where it's been tougher. We just keep focusing. Everybody in this club has a mindset of we want to improve, whether it be the staff, whether it be the players on the pitch, whether it be how we play as a team. We're all on that same mindset, and, yeah, I've thoroughly enjoyed seeing all these players come through.
And many people say that January can drag, but so much seems to have happened in this month alone with obviously the number of games and obviously what's gone on off the pitch as well, and the arrivals that, you know, fans, of course, will be really pleased to see on the pitch soon.
Yeah, to be honest, from a personal point of view, it's just been, then the next day, then the next day, and kind of forget what the date is. You're either working sort of match day minus one or two or match day plus one or two. And then just, you know, instantly on to the next game. So, yeah, I'm not sure how long this will go on for. It's been fantastic so far. But, yeah, just keep focusing for the next game rather than specific days in the week or to get to the end of the month.
And do you feel that real backing from the fans as well? I know when we spoke to you last week, that anticipation of leading the team out Adams Park, and obviously you've had the two home games now, and the fans are really, it really feels like they're, you know, behind you and the team.
Oh, the fans have been brilliant. I thought Tuesday night's atmosphere, I mean, you'd never guess there was 3,800 in there. That's, I thought, the noise they made. And I know you'll always hear managers praising the fans, but, you know, the flag, the drum, the cheering from start to finish, it felt really united. And obviously the players, that's huge for them. They do feed off it. So, no, it was a fantastic effort from them, and really appreciate all their support they're giving us at the moment.
And I'm sure you'd be pleased to see more supporters at Adams Park as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, we understand January is a hard month. You know, you come up Christmas period, we suddenly had a string of home games, the weather's bad. But, you know, as we push towards the second half of the season and, you know, we are trying to reach that objective, then, yeah, every single fan that turns up and cheers us on is greatly appreciated. And as I said, it really does help.
And what sort of challenge are you expecting from Cambridge on Saturday?
Cambridge are a really well organised side. You know, if you think back to their home game, whilst, you know, you'd like to think that we were strong on that day, you know, it was only 2-1, I seem to remember. And that's what I'd say a lot of the games have been, you know, clear identity to how they want to play, very well organised. They've added some real quality with Stokes joining them from Bristol City on loan. So we'll have to make sure we're well and truly up for the challenge.
And it'd be really nice to continue that momentum from a busy January, taking that into the new month as well.
Yeah, it would be. Absolutely. We've had this run of games, obviously slightly less than the Christmas period, but, you know, to finish the month in a good position would mean a lot to us.
And obviously hearing your post-match comments on Tuesday, fantastic to hear that, you know, you're enjoying the role so well, so much, and how things are going for you and the rest of your coaching staff as well.
Yeah, it has. It's been a great challenge. You know, suddenly every detail really does count. Obviously, you always prepare your teams for the best possible performance, but it's different because, you know, you have the footage, you have the statistics, you know, you have a better idea of what you like to come up against than maybe if you're playing in a friendly or in a cup match with, you know, for like the Berks and Bucks. You know, you were working with the best possible players, you know, selecting those teams and those squads. So it really feels almost like a football chess match at time, but then you know, start the game and the game plan changes based on either what the opposition bring or where we're having success or where things maybe we're finding trouble. So, yeah, you know, that mental readiness you have to be to adapt in the moment. I've really enjoyed you know, pitting my wits against some great managers so far.
Well, it's been a real pleasure to speak to you. Really appreciate your time and all the best for Saturday.
Great. Thanks, Colin. You too.